Bible. I am
what it says I am.
I can do
what it says I can do.
I am a believer,
not a doubter.
I am a doer,
not just a hearer.
And my life
is the better
after having heard
the word of faith.
Faith cometh by hearing,
and hearing,
and hearing by
the word of God.
All right, so Romans 1 and 17 and Hebrews 10 and 35. Those are going to be my two opening texts, Romans 1 and 17 and Hebrews 10 and 35. I want to jump right into it. We're talking from the subject, the series, Walking in Great Expectations. And this is a faith, really a faith refresher, a faith series as it has to do with living by faith. Romans 1 and 17 says, "For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And so we understand in this series that we live by faith. We said that faith is not a spare tire. It's not something that I just go get in case of emergencies, but I live by faith. Last week, we opened up and we learned that we live by faith and that we win by faith. Everybody say, "I live by faith, and I win by faith." So your faith will produce what you require, but what you tolerate will not change. All right. I want to say that again. Your faith will produce what you require, but what you tolerate will not change. And how many know all of us, including me in this room, have tolerated things and put up with things? You got it. But to the degree that you really will put your faith on it, put the word on it, apply faith in your life, you can see changes in your life. You can see results in your life. You know, God will fill any bag you give him as long as you give it to him in faith. That is why the writer says the just shall live by faith. Now, on last week, we began to talk a little bit about how faith works, and I gave you the first two, and I wanted to, on this week, to give you the other two. And so we said last week, we read Romans 10 and 17. We said that faith comes by hearing, and then we read Mark 11 and 22 and said that faith is released by the words of your mouth. Do y'all have a screen for that, or did I not give y'all a screen for that? Okay, and so faith comes by hearing, Romans 10 and 17. Faith is released by the words of your mouth. So that's what we talked about on last week, and so I'm not going to spend much time on that. That is, faith comes by hearing, so I need to hear the word. I need to hear it on a consistent basis. That's why I need to come to church and, you know, just all those kind of things. But it's also released by the words of your mouth. Once I get it, there's something I've got to do. I've got to say what the word of God says. And we went to Mark 11. We talked extensively about that. You know, if you can say to the mountain, "Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart." And we talked about believing. You could have a little bit of doubt in your head, but as long as you have faith in your heart, it'll come to pass. Because we were never instructed in the word of God to believe with our head. We were instructed to believe with our heart. It is, the Bible says that's how we get saved in Romans 10 and 9. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. You got it? The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart." Doesn't say my head. Well, why? What's the difference, Pastor? Well, because my mind is the arena of faith. It is the battleground, as the case may be. And that's where the enemy will shoot fiery darts. And so there's some thoughts that'll get in your mind, but they're not your thoughts. And you have to know the difference between your thoughts, you got it, and the thoughts that are shot in your mind. And so that is why when a thought comes in our mind that we know that it's not ours, that we know that's not anything we find in God's word, we just cast that thing down. Amen? All right, we'll talk about that a little bit later because I want to get into the next part. So faith comes by hearing. It is released by the words of a mouth. Faith works by love. If you're taking notes, you can just jot down Galatians 5 and 6. Faith works by love. What does Galatians 5 and 6 say? It says exactly that. It says that faith works by love. And so love is the motivator, but faith is the activator. So everything I should do should be motivated by love. Does that make sense? And so, you know, how many know that my faith is probably not going to work if I'm mean to everybody? Should have got a better amen than that. Y'all ever met any mean Christians? Let's leave that alone, all right? You know, but no, how many know my faith is not going to work if I'm always walk around mean, always not wanting to help anybody, fussing people out? I'm upset because the lady at the register, she's going too slow. You know, and if you're not careful, you know, you build up this thing of, you know, you just want it your way and everybody else is wrong and you just mean and always barking at folks. And I'm telling you, if you're like that, your faith's not going to work. Does that make sense? I'm your pastor. I just got to be honest with you. Right? All right? So faith comes by hearing. It's released by the words of our mouth. It works by love. And then it is manifested by our actions. James 2 and 20 says that faith without works is dead being alone. Faith without works is dead being alone. So I've got to put some feet to my faith, so to speak, and I've got to apply the word in my life, put pressure on the word. I don't put pressure on people. I put pressure on the word. I don't put pressure on systems. I put pressure on the word. And to the degree I do that, I'll see things come to pass in my life. Okay, thank you for that. Now, let me help you with something. The difficulty of walking by faith can be real. We'll go through situations and seasons and trials where it seems like, man, this walking by faith thing is tough because I've been confessing the word, I've been doing this, I've been doing that, you know, and it doesn't seem to be working. Well, you got to understand that it's working even when it doesn't look like it's working. You got it. You got to understand that. Oh, man, but in my own private Bible study time when I'm just doing my little devotions in the morning and listening to other guys across the country and these kind of things, you know, I was so blessed because you remember when Daniel needed to hear from God to understand some things and he went on a 21-day fast. Y'all remember that? And so Daniel goes on this 21-day fast and, you know, well, he says he's going to go on a fast. So, you know, he goes until he hears from God. So he goes 2 days, doesn't hear from God. He goes 4 days, he doesn't hear from God. He goes 7 days, doesn't hear from God. He goes 10 days. He doesn't hear from God. Brother man was probably getting hungry around the 10th day. You got it? And so he's doing this, you know, all these days. And finally, on the 20th day, you know, and I said 10 days. Some people, 2 days, they hungry. But anyway, by 12 o'clock, they hungry. But anyways, but an angel shows up. Listen, if you ever want to read this, just go to Daniel, the 10th chapter. So an angel shows up and tells Daniel, he says, Daniel, on the first day that you prayed, God had already heard you and sent me on assignment. He said, but I had, because we have to understand the spiritual warfare is real. So he said that there were some things that I had to fight against just to get to you. And that is why Michael, the angel, had to come and help me to overcome that so I can get to you. And that's why I'm trying to tell you that when I pray and I believe God and I'm walking by faith, even though it doesn't look like it's working, it is working. Sometimes it's a process to take things from the spiritual realm to manifest into the natural realm. He told Daniel, on the first day that you pray, God heard you. So some things you've been believing for, some things you want to come to pass in your life, some things that are, you know, can I just be honest, that are aggravating in your life, God says, the first time you prayed, I heard you. So what I need you to do is stay in the fight, and if you stay in the fight, you're going to win. I need you to keep swinging. I got to calm down because I'm getting happy. I need you to keep swinging because if you keep swinging, you're going to hit something. Can I get a? All right. So the difficulty of walking by faith is real. This is why the writer instructs us. I told you to go to Hebrews 10:35. This is why the writer instructs us not to cast away our confidence or our trust in God. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So let's kind of do, you know, some Bible study. You got it? The Bible says, cast not away therefore your confidence, my faith, my trust in God, which has great recompense of reward. It is my confidence that gets rewarded. It is my confidence in God. It's my confidence in his word. It is my confidence in that he's going to come through. So it's my confidence that gets rewarded. Watch this. He says, for ye have need of what, class? Okay. Okay. All right. It wasn't up there. All right. We're going to try it again. Act like it didn't happen a minute ago. For ye have need of what, class? Yeah. Ye have need of patience. What is patience? Here it goes. Here's a big definition. Patience is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. Patience is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. Because how many know things don't show up sometimes as quick as you want them to? But how many know when they don't show up, you can't put your head down, you can't start talking doubt and unbelief, and you can't start getting frustrated and those kind of things. You know, we went, I think it was 11 o'clock where y'all kind of got me going last week. But, we, you know, in 11 o'clock, we said we either going to believe the word or we're not going to believe the word. So we choose to believe the word. So the writer says you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. So there's three things that I want you to understand as it relates to living by faith and just really walking out this faith principle. So there's three things I'm going to give you. Everybody say number one. All right. Number one, I must overcome the fear factor. I must overcome the fear factor. I don't care how long you've been saved. You understand? I don't care how long you've been around church. I don't care how many faith fights you won. It seems like when you get into faith for something, the enemy automatically wants to get you in a place of fear to make you think the thing that you're believing for is not going to work. You got it. But that is why we must have the word of God on the inside of our hearts. David said, "Thy word, O Lord, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you." The writer says anything that's not a faith is sin. So even though something has taken you by surprise, it hasn't taken God by surprise, and God already knows what he's going to do. Everybody say, God already knows what he's going to do. All right, watch this in John, the 6th chapter, verse 5 and 6. I just want to push the fact that God already knows what he's going to do. There's a big crowd. Jesus comes to Philip, says, "Hey, we need something to eat." Philip said, "It'll take a half year's wages to feed all these folks," right? But watch this. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that we may eat?" And he said this to prove him or test his faith. For, watch this, the Bible says he, talking about Jesus, he himself knew what he would do. God already knows what he's going to do. So in your finances, God already knows what he's going to do. In your marriage, God already knows what he's going to do. With your children, God already knows what he's going to do. With that thing that's keeping you up at night, got it, that you don't want to talk to anybody about, God already knows what he's going to do. So you have to make up your mind that God already knows what he's going to do in my life, all right? My definition of fear, I'm not sure if I gave this to them or not, but my definition of fear is conscious deliberation of your situation without the God factor. It is conscious deliberation of your situation without the God factor. In other words, I'm going through my situation. I'm going through the things that aren't working. I'm going through the things that took me by surprise. I'm going through the deficit, and I keep going through it, and I'm rehearsing it, and I'm rehearsing it, and I'm rehearsing it, but I forgot about the God factor. You got it? Because when God is the factor, it changes everything. Does that make sense? All right. It is fear that Satan will try to use to get you to quit and give up in life. It's fear that he tries to use to cause you to put your head down and throw in the towel and start. It's fear that he uses to kind of make you start saying, it's not going to work. You got it? Job said, "The thing that I feared the most has come upon me." Right? So Job, watch this now. Job allowed a door to be opened in his life that caused some events to happen because of fear. And so that's why we can't operate in fear, because it didn't come from God. 2 Corinthians, the 1st chapter and the 7th verse says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." All right? So he has not given us a spirit of fear. So if God didn't give me a spirit of fear, then I need to first ask myself the question, where did this fear come from? All right? God didn't give me a spirit of fear, so where did this fear? It had to come from the enemy or come from Satan, because the Bible says that everything good and perfect comes from God. Right? So he says, God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So fear tolerated is faith contaminated. You got it? And you have to stop tolerating fear. You know, I remember when my daughter was younger, and, you know, she didn't like, you know, the dark, right? You know, she's older now. That kind of stuff don't really bother her. But when she was little, you know, we had sold our house, and we had to go to, like, a small place until we bought, you know, what we wanted. And she just, you know, she's, I'm not sleeping in my room. I'm sleeping, you know, with y'all. I'm sleeping, you know, like we've all done, you know, that kind of thing. And so I would go in the room, and I had to tell her that, like, there is no difference when the lights are on and the lights are off. So I walked into a room, you know, I turned the lights on, you got it, or the lights were on, and I said, okay, now just so you know, I'm about to turn the lights off, everything's going to be okay. I turned the lights off, you got it, all right, are you okay? Yeah, you know, and I turned the lights back on. See, nothing changed. Nothing changed. And sometime in your life, nothing has changed, but the enemy tries to get you to think something has changed, to get you in fear so you'll back up and not believe what God's word said. I'm teaching better than you shouting amen up in here. All right? And so fear is dispelled by choice. If you have Psalms 56 and 11, put it up on the screen. It says, "For God, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me." So David is talking. David has gone through a whole lot of things. He's gone through a lot of situations. You know, they tried to kill David, so many times. All this stuff is going on. David had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be in fear. But David said, "In God have I put my trust or my confidence." He says, "I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me." The key, watch this in here, is he makes a decision that he says, "I will not." And in your life, you got to make a decision of, I will not be afraid. You got it? I won't be afraid of what man can do unto me. I won't be afraid of how people perceive me. I won't be afraid of what anybody says. You got it? In God have I put my trust. I put my trust in him. I put my trust in his word. And to the degree I walk his word out, I'm going to see some things come to pass in my life. All right? So that's number one. Everybody say number two. All right? Yeah, let's go to number two. All right, number two, the devil doesn't play fair. Now, if you're going to walk by faith and get the victory, you got to understand that he doesn't play fair. 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse. He doesn't play fair. He doesn't fight fair. You got it? 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and the 12th verse says, "Fight the good fight of faith." All right, I want everybody to say that on the count of three. Not the whole thing just, but fight the good fight of faith. Are y'all ready? All right, one, two, three.
Fight the good fight of faith.
All right, one more time. One, two, three. All right, so you notice here in the scripture, he doesn't tell you, watch this now, watch this. He doesn't tell you to fight the devil. He doesn't tell you to fight Pookie and them. You got it? Y'all know who Pookie is, right? He doesn't tell you to fight your boss. He doesn't tell you to fight your spouse. He doesn't tell you to fight anything. He says, fight the good fight of faith, all right? And in life, we've got to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. And the reason it's a good fight is because if I stay in faith, I'm going to win. Right? And so there's things that I want you to remember when you're in a fight. They don't have these up on the screen. If you're taking notes, you can write these down. If not, the podcast comes to you free this afternoon. Things to remember that when you're in a fight. Number one, or letter A, if I don't understand faith as a fight, when I get in a fight, I'll think I've done something wrong. You know, has anybody besides me ever been going about their life, going about their business? You living for God, you're giving, you're impacting other people's lives in an amazing way. I mean, you're helping folks, you got it? You know, and then all of a sudden something shows up in your life and you're like, man, what in the world was that? You got it? That's because the devil don't play fair. But if you don't understand that, you will think that you have done something wrong, and that is why you are where you are. Did you ever think maybe the enemy came after you because not because you're doing something wrong, but because you're doing something right? Does that make sense? And so you got to make it up in your mind that I got to realize he doesn't fight fair, and if I understand that, then I won't buy into the lie that I've done something wrong. Right? Let's keep going. If I don't understand faith as a fight, I will get tired along the way. If I don't understand it's a fight, I'll get tired along the way. Why? Because I want God to fix it. I want him to fix it now. And we all want God to fix it now. And when we believe, we should believe we receive right now. You got it? But watch this. But if he does not fix it right now, am I going to still keep believing? If he does not fix it right now, am I going to keep trusting? If he does not fix it right now, am I going to keep, you know, relying on him? Because we live, y'all know I'm telling the truth, we live in a society that we want it our way right away. Like right now. You got it. That used to be, I don't know what it is anymore, but, you know, that was like Burger King's thing, you know, your way, right away. Like, you know, we got it, you know. And so we live in this society where we want everything fast and we want everything quick. You understand what I'm saying? You know, some of you all don't even, you know, remember, well, some of y'all do, but some of us don't even remember, you know, we didn't have cell phones. We have phone booths. And the only way you can get a kid to understand what a phone booth is, we tell them it's the thing that Clark Kent went in and he came out Superman. Now, oh, that's a phone booth. So they thought a phone booth was for Superman. No, a phone booth was for us to go and make phone calls when we got a beep on our beeper. So when we watched movies as a kid, we didn't have microwave popcorn. My father put kernels in a pop and those things on the stove and they popped. And they didn't take 2 minutes in the microwave. They took some time. But we understood it's okay. It's going to take time, you know, but everything's going to be all right. But now we live in this society where, man, I want it my way. I want it right away. I want it quick, fast, in a hurry. God, I want you to move quick, fast, in a hurry. I want you to do it now. And the thing that we forgot is God's not moved by our temper tantrums. Because it is by faith that we possess the promises of God. Does that make sense? Yeah, I know that's a little tough, but, you know, I'm your pastor. I just got to be honest with you. You know, because you ever seen grown folks throw temper tantrums? Yeah, you know, grown folks. I better leave that alone. We better just keep on going. Don't look to your neighbor to the left or to the right. So if you're not careful, you'll get tired along the way. The devil knows he can't whip you, so he tries to wear you out. And so that's what you got to understand. Listen to what I just said. The devil knows he can't whip you. He knows he can't whip you because Jesus has done everything on Calvary that he needs, you got it, to ensure your victory. So he knows he can't whip you, so he tries to wear you out. He tries to shoot all these fiery darts. He tries to send one or two people, you know, your way to say something negative, to get you to think that nobody loves you. It's only them two people that don't love you. You got a whole bunch of people that do love you, but the enemy will try to magnify on these little two people that don't love you. You got it? All right, Galatians 6 and 9. Let's put that up on the screen. He says, and let us not be
weary.
Let us not be weary. What's weary mean? Weary. See, for all of our newer members, when the pastor asks what the word means, it means what the word says. So let us not be weary in well-doing. So on the road to doing right, you got it. He says, don't be weary. He said, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I like to say we shall reap if we just don't quit. Everybody say, God already knows what he's going to do. So what happens is when you're going through a faith fight and you're believing God, you're confessing, everything's good, but then there's this process of time that goes by. And time is what gets most people because you were confessing, you got it, but time is going by and you don't see it, you got it, and it's not showing up. And if you're not careful, the thing you were excited about, the thing you were confessing, because time goes by, you got it, if you're not careful, you get weary, and when you get weary, the first thing that messes up is your mouth. And you start saying something that the Bible didn't say and that God didn't tell you to say. You guys say, well, it's okay. I'll just deal with it. What you tolerate will not change. Yeah, that joker ain't going to change. Just forget it. You got it? No. I'm never going to get my bills right. I might as well just quit trying to do what I'm trying to do now. See, that's what the devil wants you to do. He knows he can't whip you, so he tries to wear you out. Okay, number three, this is my last one. Y'all ready? Faith accesses another realm. Faith accesses another realm. And this is why you have to stay in the realm of faith. Because when you stay in the realm of faith, it accesses things for you. If the enemy can keep you in the realm of reasoning, that has to do with logic and trying to figure things out and questioning yourself and those kind of things. If he can keep you in the realm of reasoning, he will defeat you again and again and again. But if you can keep him over in the realm of faith, you will defeat him again and again and again, because the battle takes place in your mind. Where does it take place, class? So every day we are at war because Satan attacks us with thoughts that are contrary to the word of God. But victory is assured. What did I say? Victory is assured when you align your thoughts with the word of God, regardless of what it looks like. So I'm not moved by what I see, only by what I believe. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Watch what verse 5 says. Casting down the tough things that exalt itself against them. That ain't what it said, is it? So you got to stop me. Don't let me say the wrong thing. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing, watch this, into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How many know that could be a full-time job? Because how many know sometimes the devil works overtime to tell you that you ain't no good, that you ain't going to make it, that you should have been further by now, and because you messed up, you can never rebound. But how many know you got to let every man and every devil be a lie and let God be true? You got to know he is the God of victorious reversals, right? So he says, let me just walk through this. For though we walk in the flesh, he said, we don't war after the flesh. So I'm not fighting against my neighbor. He says, for the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, you got it, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I have to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that goes against God and his word, watch this, any thought, watch this, and bringing into captivity, watch this now, every thought to the obedience of Christ. When you back up to verse 4, he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds are houses of thoughts that reside in one's mind. That's what a stronghold is. Listen to me. It's not a thought that resides in your mind. It's houses of thoughts that reside in your mind. And so the enemy will try to put this house, like if you ever notice that when, you know, because the enemy doesn't fight fair, you'll be having a situation, you know, that will be with your children, right? And, you know, it's kind of getting to you a little bit, but you're working through it. And then all of a sudden, the enemy will try to throw a monkey wrench in your marriage. You know, next thing y'all know, y'all ain't fussed in 6 months and you just had a fuss. You understand what I'm saying? And then you get to work and something's not right. And you say something, you know, to somebody and the employee, you know, talks crazy, because that is what the devil does. And so what he does is he sends these houses of thoughts. And so what it is, you know, he'll tell you, man, see, you should never let your child do that. And because of that, this going to happen. And because of that, that's going to happen. And because of that, that's going to happen. That's a house, right? And then he sends another house. See, you thought the marriage was going good, but you didn't know everything was just okay for a little while. You got it? Because what you really need to be doing is, and then he'll just kind of start talking, you know, and then you get to the job. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and these people don't even appreciate you. Everything you've been trying to do, and the boss ain't even said nothing nice to you recently. You understand what I'm saying? And, you know, and so that's what the devil does. He works overtime to give you these different houses of thoughts to reside in your mind, to watch this, to overcome your thinking, to make you back up so you won't believe what the word of God says. Does that make sense? That's exactly what happens, right? And so watch this. And that is why, you got to get this. That is why the main mistake that we make is this. The main mistake that we make is the devil tells us something and we listen. And he tells us something again and we listen. And he tells us something again and we listen. You got it? And then he moves from, so he's got a house of thoughts together for your children. And then he moves over to the house of thoughts for your marriage. Y'all ain't never going to make it. You understand? You might as well go ahead and cash in and go to divorce court. You know? And so houses of thought. And the reason and the problem is you keep listening. But the moment he says, you got it, man, your child is not going to make it. That is the moment the Bible says you cast down every imagination, every high thing. So you say the devil is a lie. You got it. You know, great is the peace of my child, for he or she is taught of the Lord. You got it? There's nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in their lives. They are leaders and not followers. They will serve God all the days of their life. They will find purpose. You got it? You got to start saying what the word of God says. Does that make sense? All right. I got to go. I got to go. All right, well, let's go, Courtney. 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's like, I taught less, so I don't know what happened. I did. They give me 28. Normally, I had 25 today. All right. I want to show you something. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Y'all already know this is one of my favorite scriptures. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. In other words, you're not the only one going through this. Somebody else has gone through it, and somebody else has gotten through it. So if they've gone through and gotten through it, you can go through and get through it. Let's keep reading. He says, all you need to remember is that God will never let you down. This is one of my most favorite scriptures, that all I need to remember is that God will never let me down. Anybody besides me ever been through a crazy time in life where it seemed like you just couldn't think straight for a moment? You got it? Okay, nobody but me. I guess I'm the only one that's ever been through something. Okay, no problem. I mean, like you were trying to think straight, and you knew that you should say what the word says, and you know, but at that moment, just there's so much frustration built up. You know, let's just be honest, you weren't thinking about the word right then. I'm not saying it's right. It just is what it is. Right? Right? And God says, even if you get in a situation where you are so frustrated that you can't even half right think what the word says. He says, all you need to remember is that even in that moment, God will never let you down. Well, Pastor, I messed up. Well, newsflash, we've all messed up. Well, no, Pastor, now you don't worry. I've really messed up. Newsflash, we've all really messed up. And so even in your worst moment or season of life where you feel like you messed up and you don't deserve God's love, number one, you're wrong. And you don't deserve God's grace, number two, you're wrong. You don't deserve his mercy, number three, you're wrong. Even in a situation like that, all you need to remember is that God will never let you down. Can I be honest with you? People will let you down. Those that you thought that would be with you and close and understand what you're going through, they'll let you down. But don't sweat that. God will never let you down. All right, I gotta go. So I was reading the scripture that I read to you last week in Mark 11. Jesus goes, he sees the tree. It had leaves on it. Leaves on the tree is a sign of fruitfulness. He goes up in expectation, but there is no fruit. He curses it and commands it to die. Next day they come through. Peter sees it. He's astonished. He said, Jesus, he said, what you said come to pass. And this is what Jesus said. Listen to me. You got to get this. He looks at Peter and says, Peter, have faith in God. He says, have faith in God. And that's what we need to learn to do, is to have faith in God. When you have faith in anything other than God, if it doesn't work out, it'll misplace your faith. So you got to get this. Now, don't shoot me down before you hear the whole thing. I don't have faith in my marriage. I have faith in God that he'll always cause my marriage to succeed. I don't have faith in my car. Oh, Betsy going to get me from point A to point B. Because what if Betsy break down? Y'all ever name your cars? Oh, yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, yeah. So you know, what if old Charlie break down? You got it? And if you're not careful, you put your faith in that and you misplace your faith. You put your faith in people, and if people don't do what you think they should do, and let me just tell you, they're not going to always do what you think they should do, because none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes, and we're not always going to do what somebody thinks we ought to do, right? And if they don't do what you think they ought to do, you misplace your faith. That's why God told Peter, have faith in God. Why do we have faith in God? Because God is faithful, right? And so, you know me, I like to look up words, I like to look up the Greek, and I like to look up the Hebrew. I get excited about that kind of stuff. You understand what I'm saying? I just do. And this, I mean, I love this. And the reason that we always have faith in God is because he's faithful. And so when I looked at the word faithful, it means worthy of trust, completely reliable. So the reason you always trust God is because have faith in God because he's faithful is because he's worthy of trust, he's completely reliable. So no matter what comes or no matter what goes, he's completely reliable. No matter the craziest thing that happens in your life, he is completely reliable. And to the degree that you will have faith in him, you will see amazing things happen in your life. So all you need to remember is that God will never let you down. I'm out of time. Give the Lord a big hand. Praise all over the building. Heads are bowed.